one in eight. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. We'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can por help favor, you grow Abbas. From here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
One in eight, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
It's football time. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good one. For once.
Welcome in Thursday, December 1st.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Jason.
Oh, man. And now the rest of the world can actually stop
be on
calling,
board.
Stop saying I'm a, you know, early holidayer. I don't know what they call me. They don't really call me anything.
Early Claus.
Early Claus. That's a good one.
I try to pay attention to when the big media out there goes from more fall leave related graphics
to the snowflakes.
To snowflakes and wreaths and
bells.
Yeah.
Little jingle bells.
Some rain. This is the month for reindeer. It's a big month for reindeer. They don't really get a lot of attention the rest of the year, but they do. I mean, they're around.
It's their only month.
This is the big month.
Yeah, for sure.
To celebrate the reindeer. Welcome in, one and all. Today's show is jam-packed, never not working, news and notes, fantasy forecast, starts the week, boom, boom, kicker. I've been informed. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at boom, boom, kicker already.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. So the saga continues?
Saga. Thank you. That was really uncomfortable, what you just did to me, and to the hundreds of thousands of people listening. Saga?
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
No, it's definitely not right.
Potato, potato.
Yeah.
Mike isn't here. Still on the hunt. If you've seen him, please dial our voicemail hotline 302-464-TFFP. Let us know where you've spotted him.
I looked all through my car, could not find him this morning.
In the cracks and everything?
Yep, in the trunk, backseat, couldn't, nowhere. Under
nowhere.
The mats, nowhere.
Wheel well?
Didn't check there.
Okay, check there after. I've been told that the DFS pass is now 66% off since we are 66% of the way through the season. To be honest, we have not mentioned this nearly enough. We've left Matthew Betts of the DFS podcast to shill it relentlessly on Twitter, but I think it's like $10. So if you want to get in there, it's I hear Kyle, you got to jump on the microphone, Kyle, because you are part of the DFS podcast. And I heard you laughing. That's not a lot of money.
No, $10 is it's what you guys think of us. No, I like it. I like it. Yeah.
I like how that has become a reflection of your worth.
We think that the DFS pass is worth $10. It was. 20, we're like, we got to move this down. Honestly, these guys who have been doing the DFS pass have been crushing it. We have some prop betting in there. We have incredible FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever you're playing. The info's great. People have been winning tons of money. People have been enjoying it. I use it. I use the tools and resources in there every single week. It is phenomenal, and these guys have been begging us all year to change the price, way up, and we keep just lowering it to where it's just...
It's DFS for the rest of us. It's not DFS for people like Kyle with their, Hamptons mansions on the beach.
Yeah. DFS for Brooks.
Yeah, I mean, Brooks would pay more. Brooks probably has to pay more because you don't carry any denominations below like 100, right?
Yeah, I pay a lot more.
Okay. But look, I took a poll this morning, Jason. I asked a very simple question. Have you enjoyed fantasy football this year?
I voted.
Absolutely yes at 28%. Is that you?
That's me.
Yeah, of course it is. Somewhat yes is at 35%. Somewhat no at 13%. And misery and suffering is at 21%, which...
Did you vote on your poll?
No, I didn't vote on my poll.
Where would your vote land?
Somewhat yes.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is this DFS pass, we're targeting the misery and suffering. If you need to move on from the pain, which maybe it's injuries, right? Like maybe it's the daily or the weekly sweat. You can hop into the DFS pass, check that out at dfspass.com. And you'll enjoy it. Twitter at the FF Ballers. Follow us over there. And the community is jointhefoot.com. Let's move on.
Never Not Working. Presented by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Available at Walmart.
Very excited to hear from you and Never Not Working here in a moment, Jason. But do you think that we'll ever get to the point where we're selling it so cheap that we actually make bets and Kyle pay out to each subscriber a little bit of their own money?
I think there's too many subscribers for them to pay out to them, but if they would pay out to us,
that would be fine.
There's three of us. And I think, you know, hey, you got a new subscriber, you owe me a dollar.
Oh, that's a good new system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun for us.
What do we got here for Never Not Working today?
So we wanted to take we're heading towards the playoff weeks, the final, you know, 6 weeks of the season here, and we wanted to take inventory of rookie wide receivers who are out there. What is telling of what these rookie wide receivers have done in the past through the first 12 weeks versus the end of the year? You know, we've got Chris Olave, who's been a top 15 wide receiver. Garrett Wilson's had some absolute explosions. Christian Watson is now a touchdown machine. George Pickens, highlight waiting to happen. We've got some great rookie wide receivers out here.
Had Wandale, had Sky Moore, had some other players making their mark on certain weeks.
Absolutely. Have Treylon Burks, who could pop here at the end. And we wanted to take a look at every rookie wide receiver since 2014. That was, if you don't remember, that was the explosive rookie wide receiver year. The Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, bunch of guys. And we took a look at how they performed, some of the behind-the-scenes metrics, what was their first 12 weeks versus the rest of the season.
Yeah, is there a boost at the end?
Exactly. So we have the outliers. That's people in their rookie season who scored 12 fantasy points or more in their first 12 weeks. Those are the crazy of crazies, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. We don't have any of those this year. But we have that next tier just before elite, and we took a look at that. We've seen 27 rookie wide receivers who've averaged between 8 and 12 points through those first 12 weeks. This year, that's Olave, Wilson, Watson, and Pickens. They're all currently sitting right there. And 40% of them historically have jumped to the elite tier in the final month. So we want to say, well, what do they have in common? Is there any predictive thing that says...
The indicators as to which ones might be...
Exactly.
The 40%.
And one of the stats that we found, and we've talked about how predictive this stat is for other things, but we didn't use this stat back in 2014 and 15 and 16. This is kind of something, the targets per route run metric. That's something we've really looked at the last like 3 or 4 years. And when we look at how that affected these rookie wide receivers, there is some good correlation here. We see that wide receivers that average 23% targets per route run is a great gauge for a really good rookie wide receiver. You have Tyreek Hill made that jump back in his rookie season. He had a 31% targets per route run, and he went from 9 points to 12 points in the final part of the season. You have a bunch of players that made that jump who had great targets per route run. Jaylen Waddle just last year, and A.J. Brown a couple years earlier. Most everyone who made the jump, there's only one. Juju Smith-Schuster is the only player who was under 20% target per route run in his rookie first 12 weeks who made the jump. So
made the leap from a solid week 1 through 12 to a a higher tier, higher fantasy points per game week 13 through 17.
Exactly. So here's how that stacks up for the basic rookie wide receivers we're looking at. Chris Olave leads all rookies in this tier. He has a 27% targets per route run, a 26% target share, only has three touchdowns. He's the guy that, to me, says the metrics say he should jump to elite as the end of this year goes, just like a lot of these other rookies since 2014 have. Garrett Wilson, since 2011, only seven rookies have multiple games with 90-plus yards and two touchdowns. Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Allen Hurns, Darius Slayton, A.J. Brown.
Oh, Allen Hurns.
And Garrett Wilson. And Wilson still has five more games to go and played a lot of these games without a quarterback. He had a Zach Wilson problem. So those two guys seem like they are going to pop. And even Christian Watson. He hasn't played a ton, but he has a 23.6% targets per route run. That is a great number that indicates he could pop in the rest of the season. Here's a downside player, a player that kind of is outside that model, the highlight machine, George Pickens. He has the lowest quality of targets. His targets per route run, 14.5%. So if I had to say whether or not he's going to jump to the elite tier of averaging 12 fantasy points per game over the rest of the season, I would bet against it. I would bet against it based on the history. And then you have kind of the last man standing. We've seen rookies go and say in the final month, and they kind of came out of nowhere. Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? I mean, weeks 1 through 12 in his rookie season, which was last year, 5.7 fantasy points per game. And then in the final month, I mean, just went massive. That was with DeAndre Swift and Hawkinson out, but obviously showed his talent. So of those players where their situation could change and they have talent, you got Treylon Burks, right? He's been injured most of the year. He's back. He's healthy. Maybe he pops off. Sky Moore, the opportunity is there. The last 2 weeks, 38% targets per route run. And I would just throw David Bell out there as well. A change at quarterback. Voldemort returning, has five targets or more in three straight weeks. So to me, those
are a bit of a riddle.
Yeah, a bit of a riddle out there. I like that. Those are the guys that could come out of nowhere as rookie wide receivers. And I would, you know, if trade deadlines are open, or even if you're playing DFS or whatever you're doing, Chris Olave.
Or just start sit decisions.
Garrett Wilson start sit decisions, and Christian Watson all look like they should have really strong finishes to this season.
All right, well, you can get up to 100% dandruff protection that is never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology, available at Walmart.com. Use it every time you shampoo to see the difference.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Do we have word on whether the Rams have a full roster to field, or are they just given?
Yeah, no, they have open practice on Tuesday, tryouts for the team, and then they're going to just, you know, kind of
go from there.
Yeah, what was the what was that movie with
Tony Danza? The Philadelphia kicker movie?
The garbage kicking, field goal kicking Philadelphia phenomenon.
There it is.
Well done, Kyle. Bravo. That's a lot of pressure. No, Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald are not going to be in this game.
Yeah, or probably most other games.
Al, is that where Mike is?
Is he trying out for the Rams?
He is, yep.
Come on.
He must not have seen me throw him a few passes in practice.
And have him break his thumb trying to catch a ball.
Lamar Jackson.
That's a true story.
That is a true story. Left practice early for treatment. Unavailable to reporters. Quad injury is what it's being reported as.
Which is new. He had the hip injury he was dealing with last week, the quad injury this week. And
hip
has the
bones connect to the quad bone.
Oh, no, the knee. Knee is next. I'm not putting that evil out there. I retract that. I take it back like a fishing line.
Yeah.
Stay healthy, Lamar, but...
Tony Danza is so little. I'm just seeing the cover of this garbage-picking, field-goal-kicking Philadelphia phenomenon movie. He's so little.
That is the whole name of the
That's movie. The whole name, yeah.
Wow. Marketing wizards.
I'm guessing Kyle watches that regularly. Is that a monthly thing for you in between Mighty Ducks?
90s Disney sports movies were spot on.
They were pretty good. Pretty good. The Lamar situation. Look, he plays Denver. We had a long discussion. Was it yesterday on the show?
On the party room.
The party room on Spotify Live. just about how many different quarterbacks I'd like to play over Lamar Jackson this week and how Lamar Jackson is a bit of the Kyle Pitts at quarterback situation right now. There's been 8 weeks in a row now where he's on 16 total touchdown pace. Receivers, the skill level right now in Baltimore, not great. Mark Andrews is even dropping passes. You kept playing Kyle Pitts because you know what he's capable of. People right now, they keep playing Lamar Jackson because they know what he's capable of. Denver's not a good matchup. Now, he could be great. I've already had plenty of people scold me on the party room yesterday. He's going to dominate Denver. He's going for blah, 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 blah. I'm just looking at the last 8 weeks, and it's a little bit – you mix it with injury. If you tell me Lamar Jackson can't run –
half of the last 8 weeks, he has finished outside the top 12 at quarterback. And when he finishes inside the top 12 at quarterback, it is a low-end quarterback. He's only crossed 20 fantasy points twice since that week three number one finish.
He has one touchdown, one touchdown, one touchdown, 0-2-1-0-1 passing. Not a good. And I know we can make excuses with the drops, but, I mean, it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, and obviously you're not starting anyone and everyone over Lamar Jackson. He's
But Goff, I brought up Jared Goff. I'd start Derek Carr. Trevor Lawrence is in contention this week.
Yeah, I would not start Derek Carr, I do not believe. Oh, man, the Chargers. That one's really close to me. That was really, really close.
I like the situation that the Raiders keep finding themselves in, which is coming back and having to go to the they get an extra quarter every week lately. Jamar Chase officially limited in practice. It was very interesting listening to him talk about the injury with respect to coming back from it and acknowledging he doesn't really know how he's going to feel until he's on the field. And the way he talked about having some reps in this game.
Yeah, he specified. He walked us through. It was really cool. Walked us through the injury process and what was going on kind of behind the scenes, the decision-making, and how he played kind of through this and scored two touchdowns in a game, but then that re-aggravated it, and they want to be really careful and cautious. But he said that he wouldn't be practicing right now if there was any pain, if there was any discomfort. He's at 100%, but they're still being cautious. He did say some reps, which is scary and frightening.
Yeah, I'm not really excited this week about Jamar Chase. He's risky business.
It's against the Kansas City Chiefs in the highest over-under of the week, the greatest pace of play game we've had in a while, certainly of this week. Do you start Jamar Chase on your fantasy roster if he is active, knowing that he could be limited to 15 snaps?
At least he can score one big play and make your day. So I think you have to draw the line someplace. But, like, I don't know, Garrett Wilson or Jamar Chase, I'm going to play Garrett Wilson this week.
Yeah, me too.
So it's a tough one. He could surprise you. And the one thing he did say in this long, transparent interview about the injury was that multiple times in this process, adrenaline literally fueled him through the remainder of games when he was hurt. And it does, I mean, we need to remember that. Like, we've talked about ankle sprains, people coming back into the game, playing, they're fine, then they're out for a longer period of time. You know, Zeke came in, he played through an injury in the back half of the game. Jamar scored twice. That would tell you that, you know, maybe the fight with Kansas City gets him through the rest of that game and you could regret benching him. It just depends on your options. Mike Williams still sidelined. Christian McCaffrey did not practice on Wednesday. That's something to monitor just because the knee irritation, I think, is how it was discussed, and you just need to pay attention there.
I would have been shocked if he practiced on Wednesday, but it's still not something you want to hear.
And then tonight, Thursday Night Football, we did the preview on yesterday's show. Jacoby Myers expected to play. Damian Harris officially out. I think Pierre Strong Jr. is expected to get the remnant from Ramondre.
He might get two carries.
He could get two and a half.
2 to 2 carries.
Very cheap in showdown, DFS, if you need some Pierre Strong Jr.
Oh, man.
That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. You know, you should listen to me in DFS.
I should.
No, yeah.
I know you want a Millie Maker.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's all. That's all I got. But it lasts forever, doesn't it, Kyle?
Well, maybe in tournaments, I'll listen to you. And
yeah,
cash,
showdown.
You can listen to me.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Wish I had been out of town last weekend and just left Jacobs in. That would have been nice.
That would have been nice. Your team would have been great.
Let's get into the forecast.
Fantasy forecast.
Feel like that Jacobs situation is the kind of outlier that will ruin fantasy players for about 10 other decisions. It's like, generally speaking, with an injury late in the week, that type of situation, totally should avoid it.
Yep.
But then I can hear people saying, yeah, but look what Josh Jacobs did, and justifying some starts. All right, lots of matchups this week. We do have a couple bye weeks. What is it? Arizona and?
Carolina.
Carolina. Thank you. Pittsburgh, 4-7, taking on the 5-7 Atlanta Falcons. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Atlanta minus one, over-under is 42.5. Look, this game, yeah, I agree. I mean, it looks ugly. Pittsburgh's defense, I think, is in play against Atlanta. Marcus Mariota and company, you know, not a huge threat. We have questions at running back for Pittsburgh. Najee didn't practice on Wednesday, but we know it's not a major injury. Jaylen Warren came out, said he's expecting to play. Benny Snell showed out in his opportunity. McFarland being worked in. Do you have any new kind of inclinations or convictions around the running back room compared to the waiver show?
Well, the only change from the waiver show is I thought that this week Benny Snell would be the better play than Jaylen Warren if Najee was out. If Jaylen Warren is practicing on full on Wednesday, this was a hamstring issue. If he makes it through full practices all week, I assume he's going to be good to go. He is just a better running back than Benny Snell. I know Benny Snell looked good this last week, but at the same time,
oh, he mostly looks bad all the time.
Yeah, so I believe I would put Jaylen Warren ahead of Benny Snell. Najee, you got to keep an eye on. Matthew Betts, our injury expert, said he would be surprised if Najee plays with the oblique injury, so it's too early to know right now with only the Wednesday practice report out. If he is out, I think Warren or Snell become a break glass in emergency play. I'm not smashing them into lineups as a, if both of those guys are active and Anthony McFarland might be mixed in, I don't think that it's clear enough to just force one of those guys in.
You're saying if Najee's active?
I'm saying if Najee is out, Jaylen Warren and Benny Snell, either one you could throw in your lineup, but I'm not recommending, like, oh, you've got to get them in there, even though it's a good matchup against Atlanta.
Yeah, I'd be comfortable with Warren without Najee, but what if Najee's active? Where's your confidence in Najee, that he will get the majority of the work coming right back?
I do think if Najee's active, he'll get the majority of work. They're not going to have him be out there and be the backup. So if I were to start one with Najee active, it would be Najee, and the matchup is okay. He's played through injury most of the year, but most of the year when he's played through injury, he's been 9 fantasy points. You know, that's what I think you're going to get from him, 9 or 10 fantasy points. So hopefully you have better options.
The Muth was not Luth last week. Went from 12 targets to, I believe, 4. George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth are the passing offense for the Steelers and Kenny Pickett. He has a 1.1% touchdown rate so far this year.
Freiermuth?
Nope, Kenny Pickett.
Okay. Yeah,
Kenny Pickett, and it's interesting because Kenny Pickett is not at a breakout, incredible Herbert type of rookie year, but he's also not had a Zach Wilson, Justin Fields rookie year. He's been probably, like, if there's a scale of good to bad, 10 being great, 1 being bad, I think he's about a 4 to 5, and so progression is in the cards for him. He looked okay last week. Is Pat Freiermuth still somebody that you put in the upper echelon of tight ends?
Yeah, absolutely. Tight ends all suck. They all suck. If you're beyond Kelsey and Andrews, they suck. So you're going to start the guys that are talented, who are a part of the offense.
Freiermuth or Hurst? Both of them are very similar to me.
I lean Hurst this week only because the over-under, the game script, and the matchup with Kansas City, I want assets in that game.
And then Pickens, always a threat to score. The targets have been up since the departure of Claypool, but if he doesn't score, that's where you'll be disappointed, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game with 42.5 point over-under. Atlanta in the first half of the season was surprisingly scoring a lot of points. Last couple weeks, they have not put up that much offense. The Steelers' defense has gotten a little bit better, having Watt back. I just don't love the assets in this game. I mean, honestly, if you look
at, like... It seems like a slog of a game.
Yeah, you can start George Pickens. You can start whoever the running back one is for the Steelers. I don't think... And you can start Pat Freiermuth. I don't think any of those three positions are good or great starts this week. And then for the Falcons, it's pick your running back and check out. You're not throwing Drake London
it's
in there.
Yeah, it's Patterson, too.
Sure. I mean, Patterson is obviously the guy. Tyler Allgeier has been getting enough work and has looked decent enough to where an emergency start is there. But, yeah, it's Patterson and check out.
All right, let's move on then. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers taking on the Chicago Bears, a team that Aaron Rodgers has historically owned. Packers are 4-8. The Bears are 3-9. If the Bears win the game, they have the same record as the Packers.
Oh, come on, Bears.
Justin Fields limited on Wednesday. We could have Fields back. We could have Trevor Siemian. And you've got David Montgomery with the majority of all the work in the backfield for Chicago that we feel pretty comfortable with. Packers, over the last 6 weeks, that defense is not getting it done. 27th against quarterbacks, 29th against running backs, 22nd against wide receivers. Really comfy with Montgomery this week.
I love Montgomery. I think with, he's got the backfield completely to himself, and the Packers cannot stop the run right now at all, even when they know it's coming. The Bears, with Justin Fields, without Justin Fields, are going to run a ton. So David Montgomery is in my lineup.
And then when we look at the other pieces of this game, Darnell Mooney's out for the season. Chase Claypool. Are we going to start seeing an emergence of Chase Claypool in this offense?
I don't think so.
Five targets last week, but
I'm not,
just 40% of snaps.
Yeah, I'm not putting him in my lineups. I mean, I'll keep an eye out, and I hope he does great things, but you can't just start Chase Claypool, who's done nothing simply because Darnell Mooney is injured, when you don't even know who the quarterback is right now.
Anybody else you want to mess with on that Bears offense?
No, I'm not going to Kokomo. I'm playing David Montgomery and Justin Fields if he plays, and that is it. But the Packers side seems like there's some really good plays.
What do you do with the wide receiver room?
Christian Watson's number one to me. He's number one because of his explosiveness, his targets per route run, the fact that they drafted him to do what he is doing. He's on fire, NBA Jam rules. So I don't see how you bench Christian Watson right now, not in this matchup against the Bears, who are terrible.
Would you take a shot on Lazard after three bad weeks?
No. I mean, to say Lazard can't get a touchdown is ridiculous. He has probably better odds than a lot of the players we're going to talk about starting. But Lazard has really succeeded when he's been the necessary option. You know, when Dobbs wasn't there and Christian Watson wasn't there and Cobb wasn't there. But now it looks like Dobbs could be back. He's practicing in limited fashion. Randall Cobb is back, and Christian Watson has emerged. So Alan Lazard, he's a flex option that you could throw in there and hope to get a touchdown, but
there's a lot of those.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot in that category, right, that you could take a shot on.
I would rather have
a high over-under game that's got somebody else.
Exactly.
Aaron Jones.
Oh, yeah.
A.J. Dillon.
Okay.
Flex-worthy A.J. Dillon? Are you renewed in your hopes for Mr. Quadriceps?
Flex-worthy, yeah. I mean, if you want to project a touchdown, you want a team that is favored. They are. You want a bad defense. The Bears are. Aaron Jones, I think, is a great play. A.J. Dillon is just a flex option.
All right, and then Aaron Rodgers, is he in play as a streaming option? You're shaking your head.
I don't think so,
even with this full complement of wide receivers in this game and a team he owns?
He owns the Bears, but he's coming off of a bad injury, hasn't been good the majority of the season, and while he could absolutely throw three efficient touchdowns, they could also just as easily run the touchdowns in against the Bears, have a lead, and then not have to do much. So I think there's better options this week.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with a more exciting matchup. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. Jacksonville and Detroit, both teams 4-7. The DraftKings Sportsbook line in this game in Detroit, Jacksonville -1. The over-under is 51.5. And this is two offenses that are pretty exciting for fantasy purposes. You have PPR monsters in recent history, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Zay Jones with 11 catches last week. Christian Kirk's in play. You have Travis Etienne, who was limited, and the team expects to be back out there, who's been a staple in fantasy lineups. And then I think you have two running backs that you can play in Detroit this week. DeAndre Swift.
Interesting.
Yeah, very encouraged by the snaps rising, and more so my eyeballs. 8 targets last week.
Yeah, in a PPR league, he's definitely...
He's getting more interesting.
Yeah, it seemed like you had to kind of bench him, even though he was sneaking his way into fantasy relevance by getting a touchdown on limited touches. His involvement has been there. I've looked at him in a couple DraftKings lineups for where he's priced, and the fact that it's full PPR, and I don't hate that. I love this game. This is one of our three massive games this week. Great over-unders. You expect two bad defenses, and when Detroit is at home and they can beat the other defense, we've seen it several times this year where you just get fantasy points from all over the place. Christian Kirk is a must start. Zay Jones is a great spot start. Evan Ingram was almost my start of the week. The matchup against the Lions is great. He has done nothing over the last several weeks, but he is out there. He
is
running
routes. How many times I've clicked him in our DFS?
He's only 3,000. I mean, he's a... I've
clicked him and then switched and then clicked him and then switched over and over again, in part because I like Zay Jones this week.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea of having two of them from Jacksonville seems trepidatious. But no, you're right. I mean, the matchup, Lions 30th against tight ends. You know, we talked about Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson situation. Jared Goff at home is averaging 258 and 2.5. So when you talk about the matchup where Jacksonville is the second best matchup for quarterbacks over the last 6 weeks, I think you need to throw the names away this week and go, like, Jared Goff should probably be my quarterback start of the week. Like, I think I'm going to pivot here on the show.
Oh, whoa.
I think I'm going to make the change. I think he needs it. I think he needs the pat on the booty.
Well, then we shall have quite the quarterback off in this matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've got Mr. Trevor. And Trevor Lawrence has been much better than maybe you realize out there. You know, multiple weeks inside the top 10, 5 out of the last 6, I believe. It's just been a very, very good run for Trevor Lawrence. And did any of you guys catch that brief interview with their safety?
Yes, it was awesome.
It was so, what would you call it? Just candid.
It was so candid, talking about how awful Urban Meyer was. And this is one of their players saying that Trevor Lawrence basically didn't even get a rookie season.
That's right.
Because of Urban Meyer. And said that when it comes to Coach Peterson, he would die for Coach Peterson. He loves that man.
Yeah, he said basically, you know, he feels so happy for Trevor Lawrence. He was the quarterback 4, 7, 12, 8, and 5. His only bad performance since week 6 was against Denver, which we all understand. Yeah, I mean, that's what Denver does. But 3 touchdowns last week. This is such a better year for Trevor Lawrence. It's hard to put it into words, really.
Over the last 6 weeks, the Jaguars' defense for your Jared Goff start are the 31st ranked as far as most fantasy points given up to quarterback. The 32nd ranked is the Lions' defense across the field. This should be a phenomenal bonanza of fantasy points. All the wide receivers need to be in. And I think you're going to start Travis Etienne. He's coming off an injury, and it is worth pointing out that in the beginning of the year, the Detroit Lions were the team to target. Like, you wanted to target them because you could run all over them. They've fixed that. You could pass all over them still, but they've, you know, we were targeting them a couple weeks ago with the Miami Dolphins, and they kind of shut the Miami Dolphins run game down, and they're a good run D. A couple weeks ago, Saquon looked like a smash play against Detroit. They shut him down. This isn't nobody's that they've been playing. So I think Etienne is okay, but he isn't as exciting to me unless he gets it done in the passing game.
Zay Jones is one of the most asked about players in the start-sit tool as well. Players like Treylon Burks versus Zay Jones or Cortland Sutton versus Zay Jones. I do want to caution, like, we should not expect 11 for 145 to be prescriptive. Like, I was looking at ways I could get Christian Kirk into my DFS lineup this week instead of Zay Jones, who I think will be chased by everybody at 4,900. Do you agree with that? Are you playing Treylon Burks above Zay Jones or no?
I certainly would rather have Christian Kirk than Zay Jones. The last, I think, 2 weeks, Zay has out-targeted him. I don't think that's prescriptive. Christian Kirk is the better wide receiver, is the obviously the better touchdown threat over the course of the season. Better for fantasy. And Evan Engram has been silent the last couple weeks in the target count. He could very well come in and take the Zay Jones targets. But I am starting Zay Jones over Treylon Burks because of this matchup, because I want the possibility of a 60-point game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably not going to happen in the Tennessee-Philadelphia game.
And I know we covered him, but I just want to highlight a couple of stats on Trevor Lawrence this year compared to rookie season. Increased his completion percentage from 60 to 67%. He's already thrown 4 more touchdowns than all of last year. He's at 16 with 6 interceptions. Last year he was at 12 with 17 interceptions. Quarterback rating is up over 22 points. So Doug Peterson is, you know, doing the whisperer thing with Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, we just saw a video of Mike McDaniel and how he changed the mindset of Tua Tagovailoa with belief, and that's happening with Trevor Lawrence. And so I want to give him his due because I think he's going to be a popular breakout candidate for 2023.
Yep.
New York is 7-4. They take on the 9-2 Minnesota Vikings. The DraftKings Sportsbook line is Minnesota -3. The over-under is 44.5.
I am so excited for this game. This game is the sneaky one that I am like, I'm going to be watching this one so closely from just a football fandom standpoint.
So this is one of those games that I think on the surface would tempt me to push the almost upset button, but that's not my feeling on this game. I think Minnesota is going to handle it fairly easily. We'll see. They're 3-point favorites. The over-under is 44.5. That gives the Jets just 20 points, a little bit above that. Both of these teams, playoff teams right now, right? The Jets have a position above the Patriots who play on tonight. Mike White looked great last week. The defense for the Jets has been outstanding. They're number one against wide receivers over the past 6 weeks, number one on the year. So when you are looking beyond Justin Jefferson, maybe that gives you some hesitation about an Adam Thielen, especially with the target share that Mr. TJ Hockenson is garnering.
I am super excited to find out if the New York Jets defense is as real as they have seemed, because they've been awesome. I mean, they have been one of the best defenses in the league. If you adjust for schedule, they're 3 against quarterbacks, 7 against running backs, number 1 against wide receivers. You look at the last 6 weeks, they're just as good. But you have to have some intellectual honesty and say they have
The schedule is pretty nice.
They have faced a lot of poor quarterbacks. You know, Mac Jones hasn't been great, faced him twice. They just faced Chicago with a backup quarterback. You know,
if you look at the good quarterbacks they've played, they gave up 24 points to Lamar Jackson, 27 to Joe Burrow, 17 to Tua, 17 to Josh Allen. So, yeah, I mean, you are playing, you know, Kirk Cousins is not in the Josh Allen tier, that's for sure.
No. I do think that the Jets defense is for real, but this is going to be that test for them. And they're going to be up for it because, these are two of the best records in the NFL. They're going at it for a lot of playoff implications on the line. So when it comes to fantasy assets and who you could start, Dalvin Cook doesn't need to be discussed because he's always going to be in, regardless of the matchup. Same with Justin Jefferson. Honestly, same with T.J. Hockenson.
Yeah, for sure.
T.J. Hockenson is maybe the third best tight end rest of season.
And same with Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson without Zach Wilson is a must start, especially in half or full PPR. Michael Carter, you know, we don't expect him to be out there. They've made some roster adjustments with the practice squad that indicate they...
Bam!
That frightened me.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little scary.
Yeah, it's not going to be the last time that happens. I'm talking about...
Is it like an infomercial?
Yeah. It was like Flavor Call.
Yeah, oh, that's what it was.
But Zonovan Bam Knight appears to be the first man up in the rotation. James Robinson was not active for this game, for last game because he's not a special teamer. But the coaching staff came out. They said really good things about Zonovan. They said he earned that he played great, he looked great, and he earned a role. So I expect him to be the first option against the Vikings. Vikings are okay against the run. They are not good against the pass. Their secondary sucks. So Garrett Wilson is in. I'm not going to chase Elijah Moore's two targets, but big play with a touchdown last week. But I wouldn't be surprised if he has a good game.
What, Kyle, is this a quote? I just want to make sure you weren't making this quote up from James Robinson.
No, that was his quote. And actually, he was informed last Wednesday that he would be inactive. So it was earlier in the week, too.
So that could be souring pretty quick. They also came out and said Bam Knight has earned these opportunities. But James Robinson said, they brought me here for a reason, .. Me not playing pisses me off.
Maybe squeaky wheel.
Maybe.
That worked real well for Elijah Moore.
Problem is he has a squeaky wheel.
Right, yeah.
An actual squeaky wheel.
Yeah, and there's no oil for it.
No.
Mm-mm.
It sucks. I mean, trust me, I'd love him to have success, but Zonovan Knight looks like a breath of fresh air in the backfield. Tyler Conklin, if you're desperate?
Tyler Conklin, if you're desperate, yeah. He's okay. And then Mike White is going to be... some people are going to try to take the glory play on Mike White. I think if you're in a two-quarterback league, you're fine. I wouldn't get over-hyped off of him beating the tarnation out of the Bears' backup safeties and secondary options.
I've moved away from, like, Lamar is going in above Mike White.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen flashes from him. This Minnesota defense throws you some different looks. They're 9-2 for a reason. So I think some turnovers might be in the cards for Mike White.
Okay.
I've never done a turnover guarantee, but I'm going with two.
A two turnover guarantee? Okay.
Yeah, for Mike White.
Just for Mike White, not for the Jets?
Yeah, just for Mike White.
Oh.
I think Mike White turns the ball over twice. That's all
okay.
I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
Washington. What a weird thing to say. Why do I need to throw that out there? Brooks is nodding like, why are you doing this?
You do what you want.
I mean, honestly, this isn't you. You just say what you...
Right, because I am. I have the sight.
You're just the medium. You're in between.
Yeah, you brought that up, and if it goes wrong, it's not my fault.
No, you just say what you see.
Yeah.
It's not your fault that you've been shown this. Yeah, you're the vessel. Don't kill the messenger, you know?
Yeah, I get these weird phone calls, and they say they got these stone cold locks of the week. And I just tell you what they say. Now, Washington is 7-5. They take on the 7-4 New York Giants. Pretty important divisional matchup here. Over-under is just 40 points. DraftKings Sportsbook line is Washington minus 2.5. I'd be taking the under. I think this is going to be a battle back and forth between these defenses. Washington's defense is stepping up in a big way. Nothing the Giants are bringing to the table frightens me. So I don't think that. Well, I don't think the Giants get to this mark. I just think this game is going to be tough. And
16
it's
16-13.
Yeah, it's in New York too. So I think the Giants defense will be solid. You know, Saquon, it's been rough. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday. He was kind of a DFS lock early in the year. The last few weeks have been weird. Like, I mean, when you play Detroit and you go 15 for 22, or you go 11 for 39 against Dallas last week, it's been worse on the ground for Mr. Barkley, who was 5.2 in the first 6 weeks, 3.6 since then. Passing game doesn't have a lot of weapons. I don't know how complicated this matchup is for fantasy.
It's really not very complicated at all. The Washington defense has been super good over the last 6 weeks. That means I don't want to throw Darius Slayton out there as a shot. There's no tight end on the Giants side. I'm not throwing Daniel Jones in there this week. There's weeks to play with him. It's Saquon Barkley, and that's it on the Giants side. There's more questions on the Manders side of the ball, but most of the questions I want to answer with no.
Terry McLaurin did last week's disappointing performance sour you on locking him into your lineup. I believe Mike said you need to cram him into your lineup last week.
No, it certainly...
No, are you going Jamar or McLaurin?
Oh, that's a really good one. Gosh.
I'm gonna go Jamar there.
Yeah, the game, I mean, you're talking about a game that could finish, you know, like I said, 16-13 versus a game that could finish 35-28. Yeah, yeah. So I don't blame you trying to take the shot at upside, but I do think you can start Terry McLaurin. His target market share has been unbelievable. He's going to be the one that is targeted 31% with Heinicke. So, yeah, he's in. Samuel's not. Dotson's not. While the matchup is okay for Logan Thomas, and that's fine, it's really hard to say pick up this guy who's had like one or two good games on the course of the season, maybe a DFS dart throw. And then the running backs is really the big question because it's kind of been unpredictable. What might look like a Gibson week turns into Brian Robinson.
I think week. Robinson is a solid flex play this week just because of the foot injury to Gibson, the 42% of snaps last week. I would be staying away from Gibson right now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I want to be able to answer the question with no. If you have other options,
Pickens
at running back,
at flex or Brian Robinson in flex?
I would play Pickens.
Okay. Tennessee 7-4. They take on the 10-1 Philadelphia Eagles. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Philly -4.5. The over-under, it's 44.5. Games in Philadelphia. You have Derrick Henry going against the weakness of the Eagles, which has been the running back position, 24th over the last 6 weeks, 23rd on the season. Derrick Henry has the second most rushing touchdown since week 5. You are going to play Derrick Henry, and you are going to get enough.
Yeah, you're going to really enjoy it. The Eagles are 29th in EPA per rush attempt allowed. They have not, especially since Jordan Davis has gone down to injury. I believe he was on the IR. I'm not sure when he's eligible to come back. Can you look that up, Kyle?
They just opened the window for him for 21 days.
Okay, so it's possible he could be back this game, but we don't know yet. That makes a big difference, but it makes no difference in your decision because you're starting Derrick Henry no matter what. I think he'll have a phenomenal game.
Treylon Burks seems like a player people want to get into the lineups. The matchup is not ideal. But Treylon Burks does seem to be the focal point of the passing game. You know, we saw without him on the field that no one could really step up into that role. People wanted to sign Robert Woods. Mm-hmm. Then one week it's Westbrook-Ikhine. Then another week it's somebody else, Austin Hooper, catching passes from Derrick Henry. I think Treylon Burks is in the flex category.
He's in the flex category. Yeah, I agree with how you worded that. People want to play him. When you've got a rookie that was awesome, like he was my number two rookie wide receiver in the pre-draft process. I really believe in Treylon Burks' talent, and he comes back from his injury, and basically the first three games you get to see him involved in this offense since then, barely involved in the first week back and against Denver, but then last week the wide receiver 14, 2 weeks ago wide receiver 14, last week wide receiver 16, feels like, oh man, arrows pointing up, I want to get him in. If you just look at the box score and you don't realize that his touchdown last week came from recovering a Derrick Henry fumble when he was going for like an 80-yard touchdown run and he just fumbled right before the end zone, then Treylon Burks fell on it. That's where a lot of his fantasy points came from.
The week before, a lot came from a final play bomb down the sideline against Green Bay, too.
Yeah, I still want to see a little bit more, and this matchup isn't the one where I feel the need to smash him in. So
Burks, Pickens.
I would go Burks.
Okay. I do think that there's a good chance Philly gets a big enough lead where you've got a lot of the passing work taking place, and Burks could be okay. A.J. Brown, play him. Devontae Smith, you need to monitor this. Groinindex.com.
My groin.
You want really badly to be able to play Devontae Smith. And so if you can't, then A.J. Brown's going to take a lot more of that work.
Oh, revenge game. A.J. Brown against the Titans. I know. Let's go.
If he wasn't so expensive in DFS, I really wanted to get him in there.
Should be a really good week for A.J. Brown. You've obviously got Dallas Goedert out, and Devontae Smith could be limited or could even miss the game. So A.J. Brown is in everybody's lineup. If Devontae Smith plays, I am going to start him. I realize that there's some danger with the groin. He was going to be my start of the week. The matchup is
groin
great.
Groin dangers. That's dangerous.
Yeah. He was going to be my start of the week. The Titans are basically giving up about 30 fantasy points per game to wide receivers, and they're really good against the run, which the Eagles have been good at running the ball. I don't think they're going to have as much success here against the Titans, so I think they're going to have to throw the ball. I think they're going to be able to do it.
Okay. All right. We have any other decisions that you're looking at in this one? Miles Sanders, that's the tough matchup because Tennessee is so good against the run.
You probably have to start him just because of how decent he's been this year. What would you call it? Like, I wanted to say how good he's been.
How about
he's the running back 13 on the season.
Active?
Yeah.
Involved?
There you go. There you go. Active, involved. But, man, it does not project to be a great game for him. I am fine. Like, if there's, Jamal Williams. I would rather start Jamal Williams over Miles Sanders if that's, like, the option, the level of player that I could pivot to.
Okay. All right. Jalen Hurts, I think he's going to run a lot if Devontae Smith is out of this game. And then also if he's in, he's going to run a lot.
Oh, that sounds great.
Denver, 3-8, taking on the 7-4 Baltimore Ravens. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Baltimore -8. The over-under is 38.5. This is, I think, a mess of a game. I mean, 38.5 is disgusting. The Denver defense is great. I don't know if they are eventually going to run out of steam emotionally.
I do question, like, how can this team get up for playing and giving everything you have once your team is out of contention, the offense does nothing. I mean, we saw them give up 20-plus points to Carolina last week and scream at Russell Wilson on the sideline. So
that's your hope if you are playing Lamar or Mark Andrews, is that this team is done. They're 3-8. And, look, this offense is terrible. Playing Cortland Sutton is something you can do. Please don't watch the game. Just hope the stat line hits. Six catches, 54 yards, no touchdowns. That's what you're dreaming of.
Yeah, I mean, he's good for 10 fantasy points, right around there. You know, give or take a point and a half, that's what he's, 8.5 to 11.5 fantasy points, that's his finish.
Is there a point where you will feel very sad for Russell Wilson? Is there a point where you will grow compassion?
Never. Never. Because of two reasons. One, I spent the entirety before this year of Russell Wilson's career being an Arizona Cardinals fan, and he destroyed us and was an enemy. And then he's gone off the rocker, and he's just the weirdest of weirdos now. And so that makes him super unlikable, and he sucks. So I don't see how he redeems himself.
I don't. Did you see the suit and slow mo thing he tweeted? These tone deaf tweets too.
Oh yeah.
He's, I mean, don't walk
clueless,
in,
man.
Don't give me slow motion suit walking in the tunnel at 3-8. You're not that guy. You're not that guy, pal.
Yeah.
Latavius Murray though.
Latavius Murray should get enough work to be a decent flex option, like a running
back.
Plus,
you love him.
Oh, that's right. That was a long time ago.
You want to Murray him.
I love Latavius Murray. Wow, that's got to be 6 years ago.
We're out on the Dulcich right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, this game is one that I would take the under on, and it starts at 38.5 points. You have two good defenses. The Baltimore Ravens haven't been putting up a bunch of points, and that's against any defense. The Denver Broncos can't put up a bunch of points unless Russell Wilson gets injured. So I don't see anything that I love in this matchup. Lamar's in. We talked about him. You can definitely bench him for a lot of other options, but he's in as far as a startable asset. Mark Andrews is locked in your lineup because he's one of the only two good tight ends in the world. And then you can play Sutton and Latavius Murray, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that game's going to be gross.
Ranking starts at 2 on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Check it out. Starts time.
Starts of the week.
I've really messed Kyle up because I've pivoted 2 starts in the last 8 hours on Kyle. But I'm pivoting into Detroit Lions in both of those situations. I will go with Jared Garf.
Jared Garf.
He is going to be my start of the week this week. I mentioned the home splits, 258 and 2.5 at home. Jaguars are a wonderful, wonderful matchup for the opposing quarterback. I think the home environment, the back and forth potential of this game, Lions home games, 62 total points per game, highest in the NFL.
Oh, yes.
Amon-Ra getting it done last week.
That's
Let's
great.
Go. Let's
so,
go.
So why don't I take the other side of the field for my start of the week, Trevor Lawrence. He has 7 quarterback one performances on the year. That is more than Herbert or Cousins or Geno Smith. He is our top streaming quarterback of this week. He's in a plus matchup. Detroit is dead last in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed, and we mentioned this on Tuesday. 38% of opposing passing attempts versus the Lions result in a first down or a touchdown. That's second highest in the NFL.
And then my running back is in the same game. I'm going out on a limb here. I'm trying to get fantasy players to believe. DeAndre Swift is my start of the week against Jacksonville.
Okay.
I think he's in that perfect spot where this needs to be said because you're making decisions on DeAndre Swift this week. The snap counts are rising. The opportunities, 8 targets. You did not see Jamal Williams with a target last week. I think the PPR leagues need to find a way to get Swift in there with that 62 total average in Detroit for games in Detroit. I think there's an opportunity here, and you've seen other pass-catching options be a focus against Jacksonville. 8 targets for Jerick McKinnon, 10 for Deion Jackson, 8 for Austin Eckler. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out on the limb. I think he's getting healthier. My eyes tell me he looks a little bit more spry, Mr. Moore.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can start DeAndre Swift. Now, would you start him over Jamal Williams, or if you had those two and you could only fit one in your lineup, who are you starting?
I can't do it over Jamal.
No, Jamal's been too involved and is the first up at the goal line, so I would agree with you there. But I also agree you can start Swift this week. My running back start of the week is David Montgomery. We talked about it earlier this episode with Khalil Herbert on IR. His opportunity has been wide open, handling 80% of the snaps and an elite 35% workload. That's the rate of the total team rushing attempts plus targets. Anything above 30 is an RB1 level. He's getting the work. ONE plays the Packers, who just surrendered 364 rushing yards on Sunday night. Since week 4, Green Bay is 27th against fantasy running backs. So David Montgomery should have a good game either way. I do think he has a better game without Justin Fields, though.
Keenan Allen is my wide receiver start of the week in another game that I'm super excited about the fantasy output of. Chargers, Raiders, 49 routes run, second most in the NFL last week. Just 5 for 49 and a touchdown on 7 targets, but one of them was around the goal line. The involvement is going to increase with his health, and I love that. 49 routes out there, safe floor, averaging 9 targets and 6 receptions against the Raiders. Raiders are 24th against fantasy wide receivers. Game total is 50 points. This is going to be a big week for Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I would agree completely. If you're in any kind of PPR league, he has to be started. My wide receiver start of the week, I'm going to stay with my start of the week from last week, Garrett Wilson. Going to Minnesota, he was my start last week. Two touchdowns, finished as the wide receiver two. We profiled him earlier in the Never Not Working. Let's just stay in the Flames. In Mike White's first start, Wilson Saul, a 28.5% target share. He is emerging as an alpha. The matchup is wonderful. Minnesota is allowing the most passing yards per game and the second highest rate of 15-plus passing yard plays. If baby boy Wilson is on the sideline, alpha Wilson is in my lineup.
And I'm going to try to do you a favor in the dark, dark world of bad, bad tight ends. Hayden Hurst has been very involved, and he's my start of the week at tight end. I'm going to take my shot on Hayden Hurst in this matchup with Kansas City that looks to be a shootout. And, you know, Hayden Hurst is reliable enough. I mean, he's kind of like a Dalton Schultz light right now in Cincinnati. Kansas City started the year out as the defense you wanted to target for tight ends. So we'll see if he can get it done. Last week, very involved. Hayden Hurst, I think, is somebody you can get in there.
And I'm going to call my shot on George Kittle. I think he has another up week this week against Miami. I've shared my concerns with him rest of season, but Debo's banged up. CMC is banged up. And this is one of those games Kyle Shanahan draws up a game plan around George Kittle. He's running a route on 75% of San Francisco's dropbacks, which is an elite top five number. He's been ping-ponging back and forth between good games and bad games. But since Week 7, the Dolphins, they're 31st in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to tight end, slightly behind the Cardinals. And you can't play against the Cardinals this week because they're on bye. I think George Kittle has a really good output this week and is a top-three tight end.
All right, let's move on.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom boom kicker of the week.
Last week on Boom Boom Kicker, Robbie Gould summoned the Megalodon and it ate a bunch of people and booped them out. I sunk in utter panic, like the Titanic in the Atlantic, worried about my boom boom bloodline. Stunned, I was simply blutterbunged as I floated next to my buddy, Greg Zuerlein.
Deucers.
Yeah, I don't know that word.
I've got a lot of questions. And they all start with blutterbunged.
Blutterbunged, dumbfounded, confounded, and open-mouthed in amazement is the definition of blutterbunged.
You know, if there's one thing about you, Jason, among the many, you always find you knee deep in, like, a dictionary.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's just some casual reading for this guy.
All right, well, the story continues to unfold. Well done.
Thank you.
We've got more matchups on tomorrow's episode of the podcast. We're gonna help you out. Week 13, we were on Spotify Live yesterday. Had a lot of questions from the Foot Clan, and a lot of questions began with the sentence, I need a win this week to make the playoffs. So I know a lot's on the line. We're going to do our best for you. The Starts Hit Tools on the website. The community, 30,000 plus on Discord, the Discord community, they're there. You can share those your sad moments. You can get help. It's a good group of people. It's why we play.
Yeah, we even use it. Kyle was sharing with me today that the DFS Discord channel, he will throw out some players that he likes and he's considering, and he loves to see the Foot Clan discuss them and go back and forth and kind of tear them down and build them up. And this is a great community we have. The Foot Clan's undefeated.
Thank you for joining us on today's show. Thank you to Jay Gris for stepping up, stepping in, and the producers, I guess. Thank them too. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.